Hey, it's Juck. Today, did the Portal Madness live up to the hype on day one? Let's get it.
And I don't think he's going to throw the ball as much as he thinks he's going to throw the ball now that Chip Kelly's on board. And I'm happy about that. More quarterback.
The truth is Ryan Day has made a change philosophically, but it's none of those.
You all know who wins. LSU is the drunkest fan base in the country.
Good morning and welcome into Juck on Bucks, Studio West. In Scottsdale, Arizona, the Buckeyes lost Dallin Hayden today, as expected. Cedric Hawkins, safety, who was recruited by Perry Eliano, class of 2023. He was the 350th ranked player in the country out of Cocoa, Florida. He joins Dallin Hayden in that transfer portal, and he's going to be on his way out. So good luck to him. The Buckeyes, of course, are looking for a plug-and-play offensive lineman. I devoured those offensive linemen who entered today. There is nobody that fits that bill yet. There's definitely some guys who could potentially help with depth. Not quite so sure that that's what they're looking for. We know that they want a plug-and-play guy, if they can find one. Would they go after a depth piece? Maybe. But right now, there's a couple that fit that bill, but nobody who is, you know, exciting. Like, yeah, let's go get that guy. That's a definitive upgrade. That's a guy they can use right now. That guy's not in there yet. Will he come? I don't know. All in all, I thought it was a pretty uneventful day as far as who entered the portal. Cormani McClain was the biggest name to go in the portal. If you're not familiar with him, we'll talk about him in a second here. You know, it doesn't mean this isn't going to get a little wilder, but there's been a lot of warnings and a lot of predictions as to what's going to happen here, and that's all still on the table. But you know, last portal, day one, was much more extreme than this one is. So I kind of am predicting when this is all said and done, it's going to look kind of like the last one did. And I think that we're over the shock of that. Of course, we know that the SEC cannot take interconference transfers in the spring portal, which means for the SEC to bring in a transfer, they have to go outside of conference. So there is a theory that there's a whole lot of SEC teams sitting with a whole lot of money ready to poach a lot of other schools, particularly the Big Ten, who has the second most talent in the country. So, you know, people are sitting back waiting to see what's going to happen with that. It's been predicted that there are teams that are going to lose an entire room, like a wide receiver room, even that they're already signed at other places and players are signed, sealed, and delivered to other places. We'll see when it's all said and done. But they've got 2 weeks now, a two-week window to enter the portal. And if day one's any indication, no, I don't think it's going to live up to any of this hype from the transfer portal alarmists, which is kind of becoming a new cottage industry in the college football talk world. And it gets big views, it evokes a lot of emotion, and it gets people fired up. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm cautiously optimistic that it's not going to be quite as bad as anybody's saying. So the head coach of Last Chance University didn't, like I said, lose Cormani McClain. Cormani McClain was his best recruit ever, the number one cornerback in the country. And he went out to Last Chance U to play for head coach Deion Sanders. And I wouldn't touch this kid with a 10-foot pole. This is what Coach Deion had to say about him.
Is the plan at corner, like, is Cormani ready yet?
No. The plan at corner is cornerback committee. That's why we practice. We're going to see who steps up and takes over that role.
What's holding Cormani back at this point?
He is.
You mentioned last week that Cormani seeing the field was up to Cormani. I wonder if you could elaborate on what you want to see him do, one. And two, did he help his case?
Study, late, prepare.
Late
study, prepare. Be on time for meetings. Show up to the darn meetings. Understand what we're doing as a scheme. Want to play this game. Desire to play this game. Desire to be the best in this game. At practice, in the film room, and on your own, free time. You do know that I check film time for each player upon the week. Thursday, I need film time from the whole staff so I can see who's been preparing. And that's just not about Kamani. It's about a multitude of them. So if I don't see that, you would be a fool to put somebody out there and they're unprepared. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it.
Not exactly great praise from a guy who, you know, I knock on him a lot, but I actually appreciate this about him. He does seem to hold some of his guys accountable, at least to some standards like that. And, you know, as much as I find him annoying in the way he goes about things to be utterly ridiculous, I respect that. That's the number one recruit in the country that he brought in, and he's, you know, he's not taking his crap. So the fact that that kid went to Colorado as the number one corner in the country is really weird, and I don't know. Kind of makes me, you know, I mean, he is going to play for Deion, who's obviously the best cornerback ever, but it just, I don't know. It struck me as weird when he did that, when Jordan Seaton did that. It seems like a super risky play when the blueprint has kind of been laid for guys like that. You know, there's a couple places you can go and pretty much punch your ticket to be a first rounder. And it's a very risky move when you go outside of those couple of places. So, it struck me as odd, but this review he got from his head coach as he heads out the door is not going to be something that's going to be looking great for him. But he is 6'3". That certainly helps. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Not even close. So last chance, you lost a pile of transfers today. And I think that it's really stunning, and I don't know if anybody would have predicted that a team built entirely of transfers would lose so many transfers the following transfer portal. I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre. I mean, who could have thunk it? It's a total disaster, man. It's a total disaster. And what are they going to do? They're going to go load up in the portal again with a bunch of guys who didn't work out at their last stop. And they're going to start the season next year with five new offensive linemen for the second straight year who didn't have a spring together. Colorado is an absolute disaster, an absolute disaster, and they really have themselves in a jam. I'm talking about the administration, because they made a deal with Deion when they hired him that you're going to come in and you're going to do it your way and we're not going to bother you. That was Deion's terms, man. Look, if I'm going to come in and do this, I'm going to do it my way. And they weighed the risks and they weighed the rewards and they said, we're going to do it. They gave Deion the job. Now, I'm guessing that of all the potential, when they sat down there and did their little brainstorming session, okay, what could go wrong here? On the table was never the guy with the biggest recruiting advantage in college football was going to choose not to recruit. That wasn't on the table. I can almost guarantee it. There's no way that that ever crossed anybody's mind, that the guy who could walk into any house, anywhere, and get the same amount of respect as Nick Saban was going to just choose to not do that part. It's mind-blowing. It's insane. But it's going to accelerate how fast this story removes itself from college football. And to be clear, I don't hate Deion. I'm sure it comes off that way when I talk about him, but I don't. It's the people that have come into the sport, so to speak, in support of Deion, telling us who have been here all our lives that we're idiots for saying this crap will never work and this is ridiculous. So, you know, the process has been accelerated and this will not last much longer. But they're going for some big transfers this time, and Shiloh Sanders is on the case. Shiloh Sanders put on his Instagram today, defensive transfers, get a hold of me. Offensive transfers, get a hold of Shador. Which is equivalent to Denzel Burke going on Instagram and saying, safety depth transfers, get a hold of me. Offensive line, get a hold of Devin Brown. This is so comical, dude. It is so embarrassing. And Colorado has fans. Like, they have actual fans. People who really support the University of Colorado. And I cannot imagine being one of those fans, having to endure the last couple of, you know, they used to be a proud program, went through a bad run, and then they went through a really bad run. Then they get Deion, all the excitement, and now this. He won't recruit. He's like a transfer portal-only coach. His kids are doing this. It's just a disaster, man. It's so embarrassing. Deion said that he he doesn't like enticing recruits with money to he doesn't believe in NIL money for recruits to get them to commit, which I thought was pretty rich, man. But he said he doesn't attract those kind of players anyway. He said the players he attracts are the ones who want to come and be developed and be champions. Now, I believe he thinks that's true, but I don't think that's the kind of player he attracts. I think the player he attracts is the player who wants to be part of the Deion hype and the player who wants to get a whole lot of Instagram followers and, you know, like a Jordan Seaton. Jordan Seaton's all about the media. He's all about making a big splash and getting his name in the news constantly. That's the kind of player he is. And that is the kind of player that's attracted to going to Colorado. So these guys are all going to bail, man. It's just bad. It's bad. And Shedeur Sanders is going to have the same exact offensive line that he had last year. It's pretty funny, man. It really is funny. It's funny, but it's sad. I'm sad for those coaches. But what's creating it? There is an opportunity. If they get rid of Deion, that job becomes pretty high profile. The next guy who follows Deion, can he come in and do better? Can he, you know, make this thing better after that disaster? Because it's going to end up as a disaster. I guarantee it. And I think that that might attract a younger coach with some real chops and some real stones who wants to make a name for himself. He wants to go into Colorado and take on that job and try to turn that thing around like a normal coach would. And, you know, if he's successful, he could really kind of put his career track on, you know, fast track to success in a really big job. So I think they're creating themselves an opportunity here, but, you know, they just got to let this run its course, I guess. I don't know what the buyout is. I mean, I'm sure they probably don't want to get rid of him yet because they're still trying to get all that money in that they owe him because they hired him without having that money to pay that contract. And they still got to soak up some money here first. But that's the Haps, man. That's the Haps. All bad over there. And the NCAA investigation and punishment for Michigan recruiting violations dropped today. This is not the Stallions. This is the recruiting violation. So the five coaches involved will all get a one-year show cause, and Michigan is now on 3 years of probation. They are also going to have recruiting sanctions and fines. Jim Harbaugh refused to cooperate with this investigation, and because of that, it technically remains open. And, you know, obviously they can't do anything to him now, but the fact that he didn't cooperate at all is kind of, I mean, this is a pretty severe penalty. This is pretty steep for the violation, I think. And this is the one that they referred to as Cheeseburger Gate, right? First off, the Michigan folks embarrassed themselves when this first dropped. They went around saying, we told you this was going to be a slap on the wrist, blah, blah, blah. And it was clear that they thought this was the conclusion to the Stallions investigation, which obviously it was not. That one is going to take considerably longer. I don't know when we're going to hear about that, but it's not going to be anytime soon. This is the one that Jim Harbaugh was suspended. Well, it actually was a self-imposed suspension for the first three games of last season. Well, the NCAA said, nah, those three games weren't enough. And they went ahead and gave those dudes each a year show cause, which is not good on your resume. And 3 years probation. It's a pretty big deal. And what they did here was, I think it was a pretty disgusting violation, to be quite frank. In normal periods, when there is a normal dead period and you violate this, it's, you know, okay, that happens. But this here took place during COVID, right as COVID was sweeping the country. We didn't know how serious it was going to be. And the most obvious thing that the NCAA could do was to say to everybody, okay, cut contacts with recruits now. So they created a COVID dead period. Coaches were not allowed to contact recruits. And I think it is a really disgusting thing to do to try and take advantage of your opponents when something so serious is happening. I may take this a little more serious than others, having lost my dad to COVID during that exact period. But the way this was laughed about and joked about, it always really rubbed me the wrong way. And this insinuation that this has just been some cheeseburger violation, You know, it just felt like a slap in the face. That's not what this was. This was a dirty, scummy thing to do. This institution, who has always prided themselves on being Michigan men, upstanding citizens. I mean, that's essentially what a Michigan man is. He's an upstanding citizen who's above the bullshit of college football. He does things the right way when and what they've become and laugh about what they've become is pretty disgusting. And their hero, Jim Harbaugh, is the guy who kind of led them down that path. And it's something, man. It's really something. But there is a bothersome photograph from Ohio Stadium that was taken during the spring game. This bothers me. Urban Meyer and Gene Smith were up in the booth, right? So they're up in the booth calling the game. And they flashed the camera up to them. And this is the picture of the booth. And here you can see here in this photograph, we've got missing ceiling tiles, burnout light bulbs, water damage, rust. This is disgusting. It's embarrassing. And whoever's in charge of making sure things like this get fixed up at the Shoe ought to be fired immediately. This building is way too important to be treated like that. And I don't want to hear anything about money. They can go ahead and take that sellout money that they took putting that SafeLight Auto logo on the field and put it into repairing some ceiling tiles and getting a new coat of Rust-Oleum. How about it, fellas? That's embarrassing, man. I swear we just went over this the other day, but I got another one, and this one's got a little different spin, so I just got to give it to you guys because there is another story about Ohio State buying a championship. And a little different spin here. So this time, courtesy of Barstool Sports. And when I said that, you immediately thought, of course, Barstool, led by beta boy Dave Portnoy, the most Michigan man a Michigan man ever was. A guy screaming from the mountaintops to fire Jim Harbaugh for years just before he became his hero. A pencil neck little rich dweeb from Boston whose daddy sent him to Michigan Law, where he obviously fit right in. But you'd be wrong. Not about him. You'd be wrong about the author. He's not the author. The author of this Ohio State is buying a championship piece is an Ohio State fan who works for Barstool and calls himself Ohio's Tate. His byline reads, Barstool Idol 2 contestant, Cleveland sports blogger, won every video contest I've been in, didn't win Barstool Idol 3, but I got a job on day 3. Getting a job at Barstool is about the most left-handed compliment you could ever have, as they bring him in and basically make fun of him. But the headline of this article, Ohio State reportedly spent over $34 million to piece together this group of players and coaches. Now, what goes into that figure? The head coach's salary, entire assistant pool, and that $13 million figure that every uninformed sheet tosses out. I am still mind blown that nobody has come out and corrected this, and nobody has bothered to check what this number is or where it came from before they regurgitated as fact. Blows my mind. That last time I'm saying it is from a 2022 quote from Ryan Day. 2022. It has absolutely nothing to do with this last transfer portal class. Nothing. There are two major NILs. They do not share information. That information is private, and nobody has any clue what money was spent in this transfer portal class or to maintain those senior players. Not a clue, not at Ohio State or any other institution. Nobody knows. There's maybe five people who know that information, and they're not sharing it with anybody. So that's the first thing. But a couple of highlights from this article from this Ohio State fan. It's no secret that if Ryan Day doesn't beat Michigan this year, he's gone before they get back into the locker room. I don't care if they're 11-0. We're going to try something new this year, buying ourselves a championship. How much money does it cost to increase our toughness? Because if the alleged $34 million we're spending on the team ain't it, and if we're still pussies, none of it's going to matter. This is such trash, and this is a kid who does not get it, man. Being critical and self-aware are good. Those are good things. But adopting the enemy line as your own, absolute trash. So Ohio State is no longer claimed by Ohio, and he's banned from the show. That's a trash Buckeye right there. Now, what I didn't tell you is Mrs. Mulledy is sleeping right over there. You might have thought I was a little quiet today. But I wanted to get you something because my man Tim likes to wake up and have a little coffee with his Juck on Bucks every morning. So who am I if I can't oblige my good pals? Anyway, that's all I got today, guys. I'm going to go enjoy the sun. You enjoy your day, and we will reconvene here tomorrow. Talk to you then. Juck on Bucks up.